I just want to finish off, because we kind of left it a bit in the air last week. We were talking about laying on of hands. It kind of went a little bit off track, because we went into other areas, which is okay. Because I think when questions are asked, you know, you need to address them and answer them. So I want to try and do that. So just kind of touch on it again this week to conclude that. So that God willing, next Sunday, God willing, we begin for sisters in the church. So we're going to start a study on that. And then we're going to walk to the saints of the church, the Christians, the fellow brethren. And that will conclude. Then we should have hopefully covered all the areas with reference to the church and the background of it. Just as a reminder, the reason we brought up the subject of laying on of hands was because it's often questioned, it was even mentioned last week in the question, as to why would we put our hands on people and then pray over them and appoint them in that way. The question was, you know, what effect does that have on the people who are there? You know, how they could misunderstand. Brother Lucky mentioned, do we need to do that? Because sometimes it creates confusion. You know, what does, you know, and so we have to sort of look at that area. So we'll come into that. And also with reference to a question that was asked last week, was what do we say to those who claim to speak in tongues or have miraculous gifts? And the reason this came up was because we were teaching that the apostles passed on those spiritual gifts by laying on of hands. That's how it was done. And so the question is, if we was to get some brothers and appoint them as elders and deacons or ministers or whatever, and we was to lay our hands on them, what would people think we were doing? You know, and so one of the ideas of the reason that for this study was to try and explain that hands was used in various ways in the Bible, various ways. It wasn't just laying on of hands, wasn't just done by the apostles, but it was used for many things. And so we touched on some of those areas where laying on of hands was used. The problem is that if we use it, it's what people think we're doing when we're doing it. And it's trying to define and understand the purpose behind it. And this was partly the reason for bringing this up. I think it's a good practice, but it has to be based on what is taught in the scripture, and it has to be under the purpose of what it is being used for. If it's used but people don't know why, it raises questions and concerns, and people think, what on earth are they doing? You know, they're laying on hands, passing on spiritual gifts and that kind of thing. So that was part of it. We'll kind of look at that within the time that we've got, so that hopefully we can clear this up. So a question was raised, what do we say to those who claim they can speak in tongues or claim they have these spiritual powers or spiritual gifts? And I always say this, and even this week I've used this same phrase with somebody I've spoken with, that in order to answer that question, I would answer it with a question. And I've always found that to be the best option, because, you know, there can be people who believe that they can speak in tongues. You know, I've spent time with people in their homes and studied with them on this, even members of the congregation who believe they have these gifts and that kind of thing. And so I could not disrespect them, never disrespect these people. People who believe things like that is something that they believe. Don't disrespect them, but what we have to do is show them through scripture, and the solution to the answer is that we answer with a question, and it's this one. If you believe you have powers, how did you receive them? Who gave you those powers? How did you receive that ability? And that is the point, because when we study this in the scripture, then you know, we can examine how it was done in the scripture and then ask the question, well, can you have these abilities? You know, in what way did you receive them? And that would be the way to answer it. We'll look at that. Just to recap a little bit, we said that in our study that the apostles could pass on the ability to others with these gifts by laying hands on them. That's what they could do. They could lay hands on, they could pass on these gifts. But the person receiving the gift could not pass it on. They didn't have the ability to do that. Only the apostles could do that. No one else. They were the only ones that could pass on the gift. If I was an apostle and I was passing that gift on, I would pass that gift on, but the person who received it from me could not pass it on themselves. They could use the gift that they'd been given, but they couldn't pass it on to anybody else to use that gift. Only the apostles could do that. Very important to understand that. And so it was only transferable by the apostles themselves. So when the apostles died, then the ability to do the gifts died, because there was no way to pass that ability on to them. Let's look in, so we'll touch on some passages we've already touched on, but it's important just so we can make sure we're clear on this. We'll read Acts 8, 14 through 17, first of all, if anybody wants to read that.
Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, and that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. So in the passage here, and this came up, we used this in the class last week, it was also referred to as well. The apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word. So what they did, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now why? Because at that time, as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. Okay? They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, this is talking about Christians, okay, who had been baptized. For those who had been immersed for the forgiveness of sins, those who had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, not baptized in John's baptism. You know, because those who were baptized in John's baptism needed to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit after the Jesus was resurrected. We're talking about those who had been baptized as Christians, are baptized, but it said they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, therefore they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it says then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The gifts, the miracles, the ability to perform the miracles that they had done. And so we know that if they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, they have received the forgiveness of their sins, because we know that. And when we become a Christian, we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. So we receive the forgiveness of their sins, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same as we do as fellow Christians. They've received that. They're in the body of Christ. But we know that they haven't received the Spirit falling on them. They haven't been empowered yet. There was no ability to do miracles. How did that ability come into being? It was only done through the laying on of hands for that to be done. And that laying on of hands was done by the apostles. They had received the indwelling of the Spirit in baptism, the same as any Christian, but they had no hands laid on them to pass the gifts. So this is why I begun by saying, if somebody was saying, you know, I have the ability to do gifts or I can speak in tongues, the answer is, how did you receive the power to do that? Because according to the scriptures, if I go into the baptistry and I'm baptized, that will not give me that ability. It gives me the gift of the Holy Spirit like any other Christian. And we talked about that last week, about the Holy Spirit is there to convict us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us. The Holy Spirit is what prompts us through our life in our Christian walk. But the empowering of the Spirit, with reference to what the apostles were giving, was something that enabled these people to perform certain miraculous signs in order for them to fulfill the work that they were currently doing. So they had hands laid on them to pass that on. So if we was to appoint some brothers today as elders and they come and stood here and I put my hands on them, am I passing on the Spirit as the apostles did? No. Why? I'm not an apostle. I can't do that. It's no longer applicable today. The apostles have died. The apostles are no longer alive. There's no one to pass that on. And as I said, the laying on of hands was used in lots of ways. That was one way that the apostles used it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I can go and put my hand on anybody and do what the apostles did. Why? I'm not an apostle. And we'll look at that because it's important we understand that. So they had hands laid on them to pass on the gifts. They had the immersion to receive the indwelling of the Spirit. They had the hands of the apostles to pass on the gifts so that they could perform these miracles. Now note that, something that it says here, then laid hands on them. Okay, they is the apostles. That's the context, that's who he's talking about, no one else. You just have fellow Christians coming up and saying, we'll do it. It was done by the apostles. And so it's very important that we understand that in its context. So the ability to pass on the gifts died with the apostles. That had finished because they were the only ones that could pass it on. None of them are alive today. And so therefore there are no apostles today. They were there for that time. And they had that ability given by God to be able to do that in order for God to fulfill the tasks that he had in place. And so a temporary plan by God to build and establish his church. It was to end when the apostles ended. No more apostles, no more gifts. And so that the first way that I would answer the question to someone who says, you know, well, I believe that, I would say, well, how did that happen? Because according to the scriptures, I can't see a way of it being possible. And then we can look into it a little further as well. We know that an apostle, people said to me, Paul, are you an apostle? They asked me if I'm an elder. You know, am I a pastor? I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. We've been studying eldership, if you remember, over the last series of weeks. We've looked at leadership. An elder is somebody who is appointed as an elder, as a shepherd of the church. They fit certain criteria. They fit a pattern. They are appointed according to their lifestyles, and they're appointed according to the measure against the standard that the scripture has set. And they're selected by the church. And then they are appointed as they are prayed over. And they're appointed to serve the church. So if we appoint elders here, they're elders just here in this congregation, nowhere else. And so the question is, am I an elder? No, I'm a minister. I'm a preacher of the word, preacher of the gospel. And so the word minister, as we've studied when we studied the evangelist and the preacher, that is my task. That is my responsibility that I have entrusted upon me. So am I an apostle? No. How do I know I'm not an apostle? Well, we'll go to the scripture. And this is the thing. This is what the Church of Christ, this is what we do. We go to the Bible. That's where we get the answers from. So no, I'm not an apostle. An apostle must be a physical eyewitness to Jesus Christ. An eyewitness. And so how can we have apostles today? We can't have apostles today because apostles are eyewitnesses. And so how can a person witness if they weren't there? If they didn't see Jesus, if they wasn't with Jesus. And so we'll go to the scriptures and we'll look at some examples in Acts 1 and verse 22.
Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, One of these must become a witness for us of his resurrection.
Okay, witness with us of his resurrection. Okay, again, we can look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, and then just have to think up what the I have as well. 1 Corinthians 9, 1.
Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?
Okay, so we have examples. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? That is the apostle. That's what an apostle is. Is a witness. Is a witness. Who was the last person to see the risen Lord Jesus? We can read that. The last person to see the risen Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 7 through 8.
After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time.
Okay. So these witnesses, we see the last witness. The last witness of them. There are no other apostles. There are no other apostles. The last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born of due time. And in the, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not what seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Therefore all these men of whom accompanied us all that time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, with us, witnessed us. We were witnessed, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. So the apostles were men who witnessed. So the question is then, we remember in our study, we're saying about spiritual gifts, and people say, what do we say if someone says, well, you know, I believe I can speak in tongues and have that ability and give, is the question is how? How can that be? Because we can see in the Bible that only the apostles could pass that on. And we can also see in the Bible that the apostles were those who were witnesses. There are no other witnesses, because he was seen by me also as one born of that time, and he was the last. And so therefore, there are no other apostles. There cannot be any more apostles. It wouldn't be possible to do that. And so that was the last person that we looked at in there, in verse 7 through 8. An apostle was appointed. You know what we've discovered over the last few weeks in our studies is this. There's no position in the church that isn't appointed. Any unappointed position doesn't belong. It doesn't belong. All the tasks in the church are appointed by appointment. They're appointed. You know, preacher is appointed. Deacon is appointed. Elder is appointed. The Christian is appointed. When you're immersed in the baptistry, and when you're buried in the water and you're added to the body, that is being appointed. You're appointed as a Christian. You bear the name Christian because you've taken on that name through the actions that you have given in that. And so here, we see the importance of that. You know, an apostle was appointed by who? The Lord. It was appointed by the Lord. And as I say, you know, we're going a little bit off track, but I just want to touch on this to make sure that we're clear on this. Let's look in Galatians 1 and verse 1.
Paul, an apostle not from men, nor true man, but through Jesus Christ and God, the Father who raised him from the dead.
Okay, thank you. Paul, an apostle. Okay? But note this, not from men, nor through man. In other words, no man made him an apostle. It wasn't done by man, it wasn't done through man. He says, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So the Apostle Paul understood that. Can we have apostles today then? No, because we're not appointed. The Lord won't appoint us. We're not witnesses to him. We're not appointed by him. But we're saying that it was only the apostles that could pass on spiritual gifts. And so if only the apostles could pass on the spiritual gifts, how can we have those gifts today? And so, as I said at the beginning, the question to the question is how can it be? How can that happen? And so that was an area to look at. We note as well that an apostle was able to prove his appointment by miraculous gifts. That was one of the tasks of what they were doing, was it was the ability to be able to stipulate and prove who they are, allow themselves to be seen for who they are. And so the gifts was a way of showing their authority, or should I say the authority of what they were speaking and what they stood for. Today, of course, we have the standard of the Bible, so we can take the Bible and we can say, listen, can I show you something in here? Will you read it with me? Can I just share something what God is saying through his inspired word? And you can read that through there, and faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so that is the thing. But imagine going around talking to people and saying, who is this man? What's he talking about? What authority? What is he telling us about? How dare he tell me about life after death and me going to hell and my life having to change and all these things? Who is it? And so what they would do is they had these miraculous gifts that were given to enable them to endorse themselves as to what they were saying, or should I say, not endorse themselves, but for people to be able to see who they stood for. Because people who were able to perform these miracles were people who clearly showed that they were speakers of God. Because only the spokesmen of God and only people of God at that time would do that in that respect.
But I thought,
yes.
Talking about being witness.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, just before his ascension, was addressing a group of people. So I just don't want to say the apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, which reads, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but to receive, verse 8 especially, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and also in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth.
Yeah.
This instruction or prophecy, does it apply only to the apostles or to us today?
It was to them, because they were the witnesses of that time. So what they did was they were the ones who laid that witness before mankind. At that time, this is all fresh and new. If you look in Luke, it talks about, is it Luke 27? It talks about the time when Jesus spoke to them beforehand. He said, I want you to wait until the time is right. Then you'll go into Jerusalem, and there the Holy Spirit will come down upon you. And you men then will be the spokesman. You men will be the ones then that will fulfill the plan that I have in place. This is why we say baptism is given by God. Because when we look back in Luke and we see that Jesus gave instructions that they would know what to do, in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, they fulfilled. We know that what they did that day was an instruction given to them back in Luke. And so the witness that was to be laid by them, because they were the ones who at that time had experienced and been at his side and had seen it. So they're speaking for him. They're the spokesmen for him. But for us today, of course, we have the word of God, and we have the scriptures, and we have the teaching, and we have all that is laid down. So let me ask you, do we need to perform miracles to prove our Lord? Do we need to burst out in speaking in tongues to say that is evidence of us receiving receiving the Spirit of God? No, we speak through the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks to itself. But at that time, those brothers were the witnesses. They were the ones who experienced the time with him. And so the signs was performed in that way in order to sort of rubber stamp who they were, because no one would believe them. You know, you know, these strangers just walking around starting to teach and preach these messages. Who's going to believe that? Who's going to believe that? Only those who would witness those things would believe that. And so, yeah, it's very much for that. And so we see that the apostles then, based on what you were saying, Brother Dayton, their task was to prove. They was to prove his appointment, if you want to say that. He had to prove his, you know, that he spoke with authority from high, from God's authority, by miraculous gifts. Of course, we use the scripture, and that is why we always say, well, let me show, I better read it, I better show you in the Bible. Because then you're going to get the authority, the inspired word of God speaking to you. In fact, I recall a long time ago, I was put on a spot in a boardroom in a business meeting way back when I was working for a transport business, and there was a person who was brought in to the company who was homosexual. And so in the boardroom, one of the people shouted out, "Hey, Paul, you're a Christian, so what's your stand? What's your opinion on homosexual people?" And put me right on the spot. And so immediately I replied back, "Well, listen, I have no opinions of anything. I teach the Word of God. So what the Bible teaches is what I believe. And so I'll let the Bible speak for itself." Now, if you was a Christian, would it matter to someone who's not a Christian? No, because they're not a Christian, they don't have faith in the Word, they don't believe the Word, so they're not going to be interested anyway. But if they were Christians, then I could say, "Now listen, you're a Christian, you believe in the Word of God, let me show you what the Bible teaches about the lifestyle that you live in, and you'll see that the authority has spoken." And so at that time, the authority of the Word was not present, so they needed to show the authority that they had through the gifts that they were given. And that was very important. Let's just look at an example in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 2.
"Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds."
Okay, so the signs and wonders, the things that were performed by them, were signs of an apostle. The signs of an apostle accomplished among them. In other words, the signs was, it showed you that we speak with God. You know, these words that we're speaking are real. These things are true. These messages are important. We're not just some stranger who's walked in here with some crazy idea that we want to share it with you. And so it was important to show that in that way. I want you to know something. In Acts chapter 8, when we looked at that, those who received the indwelling at the baptism, they still needed hands laid on them to pass on the spiritual gifts. And I want to share another passage with you with that to sort of back it. I like to use, because it shows you that what had happened was real. And so imagine these men, they've been immersed, as we've said now, so they're members of the body of Christ, they've been added into the church, they've received the gift, they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, like we have, as Christians, that's there. But they still couldn't do miracles and things, and so the apostles, they went along and said, "Well, you guys are going to be able to claim who you are, and people have got to see that what you speak is the truth." And so they lay hands on them and they give them the spiritual gifts. And then after this was done, just look in verse 18 through 19.
"And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles and the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'"
Okay, so, you know, this shows a kind of a naivety as well. But the point here was, so these men had been baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They now had hands laid on them, so they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we see that Simon saw. He saw, at that time, he saw that through the laying on of the apostle, note that, the apostle's hands, the Holy Spirit was given. How did he see that? Because he saw the miracles. He was a witness to that. And so we can see that the action took place with the laying on of the hands, but now we see the result of it through an eyewitness. And so the eyewitness, Simon, could see the things. He saw it for himself. What did he say? He said, "Oh, I'll give you some money, give me this power as well. You know, I want this power." You know, a bit of a naivety there in the way that he acted. But the point is this, that Simon could see the works. That was the purpose of them, that they could be seen so that people would understand. And what could he see? Those who the apostles laid hands on, he could see that they received this power through things that they were doing. And so because of it, Simon wanted that same power as well. And sometimes it can be like that today. People can read about that. Oh, if only I could do things like that. But again, the question is, as we always, I ask, is how? How can we receive that ability? It's not possible because the Bible clearly indicates how it was done. Now, you could, at the time, some received the ability to do miracles directly from God. They were very unique situations. This was received in this way by the Apostle Paul. And it was also received by Cornelius in the household. And so that was in those times that was used. Or you could receive the power to do miracles from the laying on of hands by the apostles. But if you were not an apostle, you could not transfer to others. And therefore, once the apostles died, the ability to pass it on died with them. And so therefore, the question is, if somebody feels, and as I say, it's important, is please remember this. When you meet people who believe things, respect them and treat them right and work through the scriptures. Let the scriptures explain things. There are people who feel strongly about these things, who have maybe grown up with these things, who have had these things around their lives and it's been embedded in them. And it's very difficult when people unteach you from things that you were convicted with, that you feel strongly about. And so this isn't about scoring points. This isn't about saying we're right, you're wrong. This is simply about taking the word of God, letting it speak, and helping us to understand so that when we talk to people, they can see the word of God speaking in a way that it helps us to learn and grow. Now, let me tell you, historically, I'm not a fan of too much of historical backgrounds and things like that, history too much. We studied the intertestamental period and the 400 years between and the things that I wouldn't say were a fantastic fan of that, but nevertheless it was useful. But I love sometimes to read things about some of the early writers and the forefathers and the early writers who also had written about things that happened in the time of the Church of Christ, who maybe weren't Christians themselves, but they were present and they witnessed these things. Now, historically, recordings of miracles had stopped in the Church. The last with the power eventually died themselves, and these gifts ceased. The writers stopped writing about through the history. We can read about it in the Bible, but it's when you get evidence like that, it shows there's no records of it within the Church of Christ where people were able to do these things. But at the beginning, we have records in the Bible. It was recorded that these things took place because that was when the Church was being established. And so it's interesting, you know, that we could pull up records, but we'd just be sitting here for hours on end going through things saying, no, I can't find anything in there. You won't find anything in there. And so these gifts cease to be. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 13.
Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in parts. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love.
Okay, thank you, brother. Love never fails. That we can agree to that. We can agree to that, and certainly with reference to the love of God, never fails. But look, prophecies, they will cease. Tongues, they will cease and be still. But the knowledge will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. It disappears. These things cease. They're there for a time. It's part of God's plan. And so we see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at baptism. The gift of the Holy Spirit ongoing. When you become a Christian, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He, not it, he, the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead, he is the one that you receive. But the empowering of the Holy Spirit received from God for the laying on of hands of the apostles ceases. That is no more. It said so in the passage. These things are only here for a temporary moment to enable the church to establish and begin. But once that the structure's in place, then it comes down, like I said, like scaffolding around the building that you're building. They come down. And so therefore, they're no longer required because we have the Word of God. And we have, you know, the fulfillment of Jesus. And so when the apostles eventually died, as I said before, the empowering of the Holy Spirit also died. And the reason that these powers had been given was because they had not yet received the full revelation of the Word. And so these men needed that. The Bible had not yet been written. The miracles endorsed servants, and that was important at that time. 1 Corinthians 13:9.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears.
Okay, so it disappears. What is in part disappears. It's a temporary thing that's in place. I'm looking at the timing. So back to our study, because we're gonna conclude this section today, because I want to start the women in the church next Sunday, God willing. And so we're going to start to study that, and encourage our sisters. That's what we're going to do. We're going to try to encourage our sisters as well. But back to our study, the laying on of hands was done by the apostles to transfer various gifts. In the New Testament, the hands were used for ordination. Ordination means to appoint or to make stand. Hands were used for prayer. Hands were used for war. Hands were used for power. Hands were used for laying on, to pass on the miracles by the apostles. Hands are also used to appoint people in the church. That's how they were used. Ordination, where a person is appointed to a role or task. Acts chapter 6, the deacons were appointed by hands on. In Acts 13, missionaries were appointed by hands on. In 2 Timothy 1:6, preachers were appointed by hands on them. The laying on of hands symbolizes the transfer of authority and responsibility and agreement to another's new role or task. Because we're putting hands on them, we're passing no miraculous powers. But we are saying these brothers, are the ones who we've sought through Scripture, and we're passing on these responsibilities to them to carry out. So in the New Testament, the laying on of hands is transfer. Those in authority lay hands on an individual to transfer the authority. And so we can look at an example. In fact, we won't read this. Don't read this, because we've looked at it quite a few times. But if you remember, you know, where the seven men of good reputation were put out, and then we see whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. In other words, they were appointed. Those in authority lay hands and transfer the authority to them. Not miraculous powers. I'm not an apostle. I can't do anything like that, but I can appoint, sort of say, this is the person. This is the person that we appoint. And we want to make that clear that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the official appointed. Again, in Acts 13, we're not going to read that. You know, but we can see they ministered to the Lord and fasted in the Holy Spirit. And now separate between Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and then they were sent away. So in this passage, they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas as they left to do mission work. And so they said, we're giving you this responsibility, go do the mission work. And so they recommended or commended them to go into the mission work in that way. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so the passage shows Timothy was assigned for his role as an evangelist, done through that again the laying on of hands. So this is not magical. There's no power people with powers in here. You know, the power's in here. Every appointment is done by God Himself. When you become a Christian, I can help you, assist you into the water, help you into the water. But the Lord adds you to His body. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from Him. He adds you to His church, not me. So I have no powers at all in order to do that. And He's the same with reference to this. And so the question, do we lay hands today? I say, personally, when it's called for, we can. You know, we have plenty of examples recorded in Scripture, and this should be done when it is scripturally right to do it. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say this, because hands were used in many ways. Do we use hands to lay on people for healing? No, because no more miraculous powers are here. Do we give blessings? Can I go up to someone and put my hands on you and say, I bless you? No. No, I can't do that. I can't do that at all. I can pray for you, for God's blessing upon you. I can ask my God if He's able to bless you in some way, but it's for God to do that, not for me to do that. Can I use my hands to do that? No. We can pray for each other, but we can't give blessings like Jesus did. We see no further mention of this in Scripture after Jesus died. He gave the blessings, as remember we read when he blessed the children. And so, can I perform miracles with my hands? No, because miracles no longer exist. Can I ordain somebody? Can I appoint somebody? Can I commend somebody to appoint them to preach on behalf of the congregation before the presence of God? Yes. We select men to be deacons, maybe brethren going on mission trips. So we can and should use this method to show approval and appointment. It's not about what we're doing, it's about people understanding the context in why we're doing it. You know, what is the purpose behind that? And so anybody who was appointed as an elder or a deacon, if hands were put on them, this is no miraculous way of passing some miraculous power, but this is a way of allowing them to be chosen and pointed out, and then have that responsibility passed on to them. And this is the reason we still continue to lay hands in the church. We've kind of come to an end. Listen, if there's any questions, I know we're out of time. If you've got any questions, come and see me, or email me, or ring me. If you want to meet up, I'll meet you somewhere, and we can discuss this further. As I say, it's quite a bit in there, it kind of took us a bit off, but I hope it's helped you. I hope it's helped you to understand. Brother Lucky, we've got about 1 minute, brother, yeah.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Oh, 1 minute, yeah.